It's time for Newsnight, and Gemma is standing by with the headlines. Gemma?
Tonight, former Attorney General Godfred Yeboah Adame threatens to boycott the High Court next week as the court adjourns the case involving former Buffer Stock CEO Hanan Abdul Wahab to August 25 to await a Supreme Court decision on an injunction application challenging the Chief Justice's warrant for vacation trials.
I'm not going to be available. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to be available, and it's in keeping with the position I've taken all along, that we did not attend trials in the vacation.
We also have details as the court halts the trial involving Edu Boahing and his wife, awaiting the outcome of the injunction application before the Supreme Court. Also tonight, university administrators are defying government pressure and keeping their strike on. And later, Ghana National Fire Service admits it is struggling to provide adequate protective equipment for firefighters as fears grow among personnel who are risking their lives breathing unhealthy levels of smoke while responding to national emergencies.
Let me say that the equipment gap is quite wide for now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but we cannot be doing that like every fire, the screening. We are not doing that. But international standards, no, we are not there yet.
Later in business.
Oil marketing companies rule out keeping fuel prices unchanged despite delays in reviewing pump prices by some of them.
Send us your views and comments via WhatsApp console 055-1111-997 on all our social media platforms. You can also send us a voice note. Keep it short and simple. We read all your messages during your say. Attorney General Godfred Yeboah Adame has threatened not to appear before the Specialized Court 1 of the Accra High Court to defend his client Hanan Abdul Wahab as the court adjourned the case to August 25, pending the determination of an injunction application filed by a Ofoasia Yorubi MP Kojo Oponkom on Friday. Yeboah Adame insists that the warrant issued by the Chief Justice for cases to proceed during the legal vacation is strange, stressing that his entire legal team will not be available for proceedings due to other commitments.
I'm not going to be available. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to be available, and it's in keeping with the position I've taken all along, that we did not attend trials in the vacation, except pursuant to agreement between the parties. Has never happened before. I've been attorney general, and not even once was any accused person or any litigant, whether in civil or criminal proceedings, compelled to conduct a trial in the vacation or attend trial in the vacation. It has never happened before, so why should it happen now? What is the basis for the agency? There's no emergency about this matter. The only circumstances throughout my over 23 years of practice that warranted the court sitting. We're actually in less related matters. The case runs for France against the Attorney General and Electoral Commission 2012. I conducted it together with the former Attorney General Joe Gatti and all. And at that time, yes, we're just 3 months to election, and Supreme Court needed to determine whether the proposed regulations submitted to Parliament by the Electoral Commission were constitutional or not. And the court heard the application for territorial injunction in the vacation and adjourned the hearing of the substantive matter, as far as I recall, to October.
He also warned that if the court compels his client to conduct the case by himself during the legal vacation, it could set a dangerous precedent for the nation.
For hearing the vacation, was it pursuant to the request of the attorney general? And if it was not, was the Chief Justice himself exercising discretion without consulting the parties and forcing the hearing date on the parties? That clearly is wrong.
If you don't show up next week, it means that your client may be compelled to defend himself.
I have my doubt that will not happen, because next week what is for consideration is whether the still proceedings we have filed at the court for appeal should hold the hands of the court. In any event, I'm saying that there cannot be a trial in the vacation. If the court indeed wants to order my client to conduct a case by himself, so be it, and we'll see. We see the kind of dangerous precedent that will be set in this country. A party has a right to legal representation, to counsel of his choice, and that right is constitutional. It cannot be taken away from a person just by the stroke of the pen of any person.
Matters, but civil matters, and that's a long-standing tradition. I mean, point to one case in which a matter, whether civil or criminal, has been tried in the vacation without the agreement to the parties. It's never done. I mean, as attorney general, I understand the state attorneys actually agreed with one counsel to hear a matter on the 1st and 2nd of August, only 2 days in the vacation. And thereafter, the matter was adjourned to October. Was never throughout the vacation as we see here.
Legal affairs correspondent Fatal Bayaga was also at the Accra High Court to monitor proceedings in the case involving former boss for the National Signals Bureau, Kwabena Dubuying, and his wife, and joins me in studio with more. Fatal, before we talk about the adjournment, the court first dismissed a letter from the lawyers of Dubuying.
Exactly, Gemma. So, Criminal Court 1, also known as the Specialized Court 1, Peter Osei Asamoah, was holding the brief of the lead counsel for Edubuahen, Samuel Atachia, said that they presented a letter to the court on the 14th of August, saying basically that they wouldn't be available during this legal vacation period because they have their personal commitments, among other things, and prayed for an adjournment until a date after the legal vacation. But the trial judge, Francis Apanga Chibonga, said that he doesn't have the authority to make this adjournment because he is working with a warrant issued by the Chief Justice Paul Bafubani, and that if he decided to grant the adjournment, it means that he had disregarded that particular directive and therefore dismissed the letter.
So after the letter was dismissed, the lawyers, we understand, made another plea, which succeeded.
Absolutely, Gemma. So the lawyer, Peter Osei Boateng, Asamoah, basically said that there is currently an injunction application before the Supreme Court. This was filed by Kojo Opon Nkrumah, and based on that, they prayed for an adjournment that the court should adjourn the case until that particular case is determined. So when he made this particular point, then Deputy Attorney General Justice Shamsai himself was on his feet, and he opposed this particular plea, saying that a mere pendency of an injunction application before the Supreme Court should not stop the court or halt the High Court from doing its business.
Then the court upheld the plea and adjourned the case. So what reason did the judge give?
So Gemma, in determining this matter, the judge said two things. He said that there are two laws of school of thoughts that help judges in this jurisdiction to make decisions. He said, with the first one saying that once an injunction application is pending before a higher court, parties or entities should stay off their hands until the case is determined. And then the second one said that a mere pendency of an injunction application should not lead to the halting of activities or conduct of a court until the injunction application is determined. The judge said that he doesn't belong to the second one. He belongs to the first one that says that put everything on hold until the higher court makes a decision on this particular matter. So based on that, he upheld the plea by the defense that adjourn the case until the Supreme Court makes a decision on this case.
Thank you very much, legal affairs correspondent Fatal Bayaga there. Now, university administrators are defying government pressure and keeping their strike on despite appeals from the education minister, GTEC, and the vice chancellors. The Ghana Association of University Administrators say members will stay off work. At a stakeholder meeting today, Minister Haruna Idrisu promised to resolve outstanding payments within a month and asked GAWA to return to work, but the national president said no. The strike continues until they consult members. They have 48 hours to report back to the minister. Let's hear from the Minister for Education, Haruna Idrisu, first.
I want you to call off your action, the strike action. You are aware, as you know, that it's affecting academic work on campus, and we don't want a disruption of the academic calendar further.
We can now hear from the national president of GAWA, Reverend Kweku Kakari Amoah.
The strike is ongoing. We have assured the minister that we'll get back to our constituents and get back to him after 48 hours.
You heard the national president of the GAWA, Reverend Kweku Kakari Amoah. You're still listening to Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. Do send us your messages via WhatsApp line 055-1111-997. We'll be happy to read your messages back to you on your say.
Exactly. And in more stories this evening, the Ghana National Fire Service has admitted there is a huge gap in the provision of adequate protective equipment for firefighters as concerns grow over the levels of smoke personnel are exposed to while responding to emergencies. For years, these men and women have run toward fire, often working in thick smoke and difficult conditions. Well, some firefighters say the health consequences of that exposure are now becoming a growing concern. In our latest feature, Michael Ashale reports on the smoke firefighters carry long after the fire is out.
15 years ago, a burning passion led station officer Abubakar Mohammed into the Ghana National Fire Service. Over those years, he has run into smoke and raging flames so that lives and property could be saved. Today, as he reflects on that sacrifice, one troubling question lingers. Will he retire with a silent disease in his lungs?
Sometimes you sit down and you're asking yourself questions. How are you going to end? Will you retire? Will you retire healthy? Or will you retire sick? Some retire and they get sick. Some get sick before they retire.
His worry is not abstract. It is rooted in a recent hospital visit. During a routine checkup, a doctor bluntly advised him to stop smoking. But Abubakar had never smoked a cigarette in his life. His lungs were telling a different story, one shaped by years of inhaling thick smoke on the job.
Yes, I remember I went out to a health facility and I was advised to stop smoking. I told the doctor that I don't smoke. I'm just a fire officer.
And he is not alone. Station officer Zakaria Yakubu has served for 4 years. He is breathing what Abubakar breathed for 15, and he's still doing it with outdated equipment.
Almost all our tenders are grouped.
For Yakubu, the deeper fear comes when the air itself runs out.
Well, normally, when we get to a fire scene and we realize that where you are to enter is a thick smoke, we have what we call a BA. That is what we are going to use. But sometimes the BA, the oxygen that is to save you may not be enough, or it wouldn't be there at all for you to use. You see?
So in such an instance, what then do you do?
Well, you try to perform magic.
What is at stake medically? Long-term smoke exposure can run from chest infections to scarring of the lungs and cancer. Professor Adamu Isaka is an associate professor of thoracic surgery at Tamale Teaching Hospital and the UDS School of Medicine. He sees these cases regularly.
Normally, the impact that we are seeing is a spectrum from benign lung conditions to malignant lung conditions, including lung cancer. And especially for our firefighters who, when they go in, there's a thick smoke. If you are not wearing the proper PPIs and then you are inhaling them, it has a short-term impact and then it has a long-term impact.
So what does the service say? Hudu Baba is the Northern Regional Public Relations Officer.
We prefer every fireman has a dedicated equipment, or better still, an apparatus. But because of the lack of the logistics, we are not able to do that.
Yet, the fire keeps coming, and so does the smoke in his lungs. His only hope is for a policy that would truly cover his medical bills the day he finally steps out of the smoke, for good. This story was a collaboration with New Narratives. For Joy News, Michael Ashale.
hear from the Deputy Director for National Operations at the Ghana National Fire Service, ACFO1, Osmond Anum, who says the service is facing challenges meeting the demands of its personnel. He spoke on News Desk with Mami Isi.
We know that we need to protect our people before they go out there to protect other people.
Yes.
And that is not just a saying. It is a duty.
Right.
They must be protected before they go out there to protect other people. So if we don't protect them, then going out there will not work. We will not be able to.
Which is a very important point, because the crux of this conversation, really, the safety of fire officers. Because if fire officers are going out there and their safety is in jeopardy, then that means we're all in jeopardy. So how wide or how serious is the equipment gap?
Let me say that the equipment gap is quite wide for now.
Mm-hmm.
Equipment like firefighting gears and whatever run out of their time in 5 years.
Mm.
We'll have all this PM 2.5 and all that sticking on them,
mm-hmm.
on your skin itself even. Mm-hmm. So after 5 years, almost everything is kind of going out. But you bear with me that for over the past 12, 15 years, we've not really been retooled.
Right.
Okay, so what we're using now are all, things
equipment.
That are very old equipment we are trying to manage.
You heard ACFO1 Osmond Anum. He is the Deputy Director for National Operations of the Ghana National Fire Service. It's now time for business. George Riafe is here with the latest. George.
Hi, Gemma. How are you doing?
I'm fine. You?
Well, I'm managing.
Right. Tell us what's in business.
Well, coming up, oil marketing companies rule out keeping fuel prices on change despite delays in reviewing values at pumps. And Citi appreciates by more than 7% for last week as local currency continues to respond to improved supply as it even opened trading this morning. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number one stop shop for all your office essentials, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Herbal and Charcoal. Welcome back to business on Newsnight. Now, oil marketing companies have ruled out keeping fuel prices unchanged despite delays in reviewing values of the pumps. It follows a report by the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers that most of the oil firms would hold prices after most of them delayed in changing prices of the pumps on Sunday. Chief Executive of the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, Dr. Revis Nopon, tells Joy Business doesn't think that this will happen.
Well, I cannot say so. And I believe that competition will not be allow them to do that. And from tomorrow, if that is not done, probably can assume that. Nonetheless, like I said, we have spotted majority of oil marketing companies changing prices. Indeed, if you're looking at the big player that you mentioned, which is Gulf, Total, and Star, I believe that today their intended prices have been announced or indicative prices have been sent to MPA for further action to be taken tomorrow. Refer to some of the discussions we've had on the same topic. You realize that on days that happened on a weekday, let's say Wednesday or Thursday, and even on Monday, realize that effectively from that day, those changes are made.
Chief Executive of the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, Dr. Revis Nopon. Now, energy analyst Benjamin Nsia has commended the Tanker Drivers Union for progress made on resolving concerns by their members in the middle and northern part of the country. The union today brought an end to a three-day strike over concerns of conditions of service in Kumasi and other parts of the country after meeting management of Boss Energies. So Nsia tells Joy Business this couldn't have come at a better time, looking at the impact of this on the supply of fuel to those areas.
We must commend the Tanker Drivers Association and their mother union, which is the Tanker Owners Union, as well as all stakeholders involved in resolving this particular tanker strike or tanker driver strike issue. I think that they've done tremendously well, because this would have negatively impacted the petroleum downstream in a sense that it is likely going to impede effective distribution of the product, especially in the middle belt of the country, and also put a lot of stress on the UPBF fund because in recent times government has suspended the collection of this particular the UPBF margin, and suspension also means that the available funds is being depleted day by day for paying for the transportation of products from the depot to the retail outlet. So if the strike had continued, what MPA would have done was to allow cross-zonalization of or distribution of these products, and that was going to put much pressure or burden on the fund, probably causing a distress of it or pushing it into deficit, which the Ghanaian petroleum consumer is likely going to pay in future.
Energy analyst Benjamin Insia. The local currency is still responding positively to recent market development. It opened trading today on high note, after appreciating by more than 7% last week. There is more in the following Business Tech report.
This might be one of the biggest appreciation of the Ghana Cedi in the week based on market data. This as compared to how the Ghana Cedi had fared since last month and even in the beginning of this month. We also understand that for last week alone, the Bank of Ghana sold about $165 million to commercial banks. This should be seen as a normal weekly intervention. That is why many have argued that this time around, the performance of the Ghana Cedi cannot only be attributed to support from the central bank, but also to other measures such as inflows from the extractive sector, offshore investors seeking to purchase local bonds, and commercial banks pumping what is described as excess dollar onto the market. Some commercials have told Joy Business that, based on these developments, they expect the Ghana Cedi's good run to be sustained in the coming month.
And that is a Business Tech report. Now, the Bank of Ghana has identified an estimated $4.8 billion annual funding gap facing small and medium-sized enterprises. The regulator is therefore warning that the country says sophisticated digital payment infrastructure has not yet translated into equally accessible credit for businesses. Second Deputy Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Matilda Sindiesedu, made these remarks at the National ICT Week celebration at the University of Ghana, Lagos.
A great deal of value being created in Ghana today sits in contracts, in the digital rails, in receivables, in transaction histories, rather than in fixed assets. But our systems have not yet caught up with this shift. The result is a filter, not calibrated. Don't get me wrong. Land and property, titled and verified, are perfectly sound security. And lenders are right to want it. I've come from the banking industry, and I know how difficult some people can actually borrow and intentionally refuse to pay. So if you have something you're holding on them, that makes your recovery much easier.
Second Deputy Governor of the Bank of Ghana, Matilda Asante Esiedu. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George, for Business. Let's do sports now. Danny Kay is here. Danny, what's happening in sports?
Hi, Gemma. The 29th of August is fast approaching. It's a Joy Sports Invitational happening at the University of Ghana Stadium. Premier Health Insurance, they are the latest to sign up for this year's competition together with the Chosen Hospital and Fertility Center Limited and the National Petroleum Authority, NPA. They have also signed up for this year's edition. So it certainly promises to be fun. In the Ghana Premier League, the Ghana Football Association, they have released a list of 14 approved venues for the upcoming 2026-27 Ghana Premier League season. The Aliu Mahama Sports Stadium in Tamale, the Accra Sports Stadium, the University of Ghana Stadium in Lagon, Dunes Park in Bibieni in Centre, Sports Arena in Samraboy, the TNA Sports Stadium in Takwa, the Nana Fosu-Jiabo Stadium in Bechim, the AAK, the Second Sports Arena in Basaketuba, AstroTurf Golden City Park in Brekum, the Babara Sports Stadium, the Pandu Sports Stadium, the Nana Buama Dakon, the Second Park in Kukurentumi, and then the Linkley Sports Stadium in Obuasi. These stadiums have all been approved for the upcoming Ghana Premier League season. To Barcelona, some transfer news, and Rodri He is completing his move from Manchester City to Barcelona for a fee around £65 million. He will join the Spanish champions as they try to boost their chances ahead of next season's La Liga and the Champions League, which they are chasing. And then their former player Sergio Busquets is also returned to the club as the assistant coach of Barca Athletic. So Sergio Busquets, who used to play in the very position that Rodri is coming to play and is now a coach with Barcelona, he's returned home and he will be in charge or assistant in the Barca Athletics as their team B. That's all for sports. Back to you guys.
Thank you very much, Jani K. You're still listening to News Night. Please send in your comments via WhatsApp console 055-1111-997 and also your voice notes as well. Shortly, we'll bring you your say where we read all of them to you.
Exactly. But let's bring you more from that interview yet to be aired on PM Express later this evening. And we've been hearing from the Deputy Attorney General, who has been raising the alarm tonight. Justice Sremsai says he, witnesses and police investigators have received fresh threats from the after the imprisonment of Ashanti Regional MPP Chairman Bernard Njibwesiako, popularly known as Chairman Runtumi. He's been speaking with Evans Mensah.
You do something to
them. People threaten you with all manner of things, and you receive such threats every day. The mere fact that you are doing your work can cause someone to just hate you, and some threaten violence, death, and all manner of things. Some try to even carry them out, you know. But it's not everything that we wear is unhappy and is.
So have you received threats on your life?
Of course, I mean.
Has it gone up or reduced since Wontumi's conviction?
It's actually gone up. And our witnesses are every day threatened with.
The two of them?
Yeah.
The two,
yeah,
you know, star witnesses,
yeah,
for you.
And even the police investigators who testified and all, they threaten everybody.
I see.
So but I think it comes with a job.
I mean, because I'm a manager, Joe, I know how severe the threats were and how direct. In your case, were they mere, you know, sometimes we're just joking. How serious do you take those threats?
I take each of them very seriously.
What were they? Were they to kill you?
It includes that.
Were they sent to your phone or text messages or somebody told you?
It comes in various forms. Various forms. And so, but I don't think it's important for us to, because if you follow that to then it means people will use such threats to secure freedom to continue to do that which the law prevents. So I think, and it's not only me, my attorneys receive such threats every day. And not only in this case, other cases as well. Mm. Murder cases, armed robbery cases, judges receive their share of the threats. It comes with
how do you stay safe? I mean, especially as you made the point, on the back of the conviction, you've seen an increase in the threats. How do you stay safe?
God is the protector of man, and I believe God protects me as well. You know, of course, because, I mean, no matter what you do, the state cannot commit a certain level of security to.
I mean, in our case, a private organization, we invested in taking people out of the jurisdiction. You are still sitting here.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That
well, so you must definitely take beyond the prayers and God's protection.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely physical, you know, natural protection, and then I refer to God because that's the supernatural one. But the point I'm trying to make is that your protection, you can get a physical one. But even that, there's a limit to which you can, as a minister, a deputy minister, because the protection comes in levels. The president's protection level is higher because of the same reason, threats. That the state cannot spend money on me as they're spending on the president's security. And obviously, the attorney who is conducting the case or assisting us to conduct this case will not get the same protection as I am getting. The point I'm making is that there is a limit to how much physical protection you can get, and even that is never enough because human beings can do so many things. So I would, for my own peace of mind and everything, I discount the physical one, even though yes, it's good.
That's the Deputy Attorney General Justice Sremsai in an interview with Evans Mensah. Be sure to catch the full interview later tonight on Joy News at 9 p.m. on PM Express.
Now, for months, residents of Teshi Telephone Pole have endured the agony of dry taps, leaving many with no option but to improvise to survive, a situation that has now reached a disturbing extreme, with some residents resorting to seawater for basic household needs. It is not clear why Ghana Water Limited's supply is not reaching them, but their desperate search for water continues. Evelyn Ampa visited the area and reports.
Imagine turning on your tap, hoping for water, only to see nothing. Here at Teshi Telephone Pole area, residents say that silence can stretch for 1, sometimes even 2 months. And when the water finally comes, it is only for a few hours with barely enough pressure to fill a container.
In time now, we've not been getting water. What they do is they open, I think, Wednesdays into Thursday, but then it's not able to go into our tanks. So it means that should you sleep and then you are not able to wake up early to meet the time it's opened, you wouldn't have water.
With the taps unreliable, residents have had to look for other sources, mainly depend on water tankers, but the cost is becoming difficult to keep up with.
Tankers, no money bar.
The tankers charge 1,000 cedis for a tank. What work do we do with that? Every 2 weeks, we have to buy water for 1,000 cedis. There's no money to keep buying it.
See, water is life, but you better leave.
Some have also turned to boreholes, but that too comes with a problem. The water is salty because the community is close to the sea and has to be treated before use.
Some of us have resorted to borehole because the tanker is expensive, but unfortunately it is salty. Because we are closer to the sea, we would have to treat it before we use. Yeah.
For James Apia, he turns to the sea to bathe, but because seawater does not lather easily with bathing soap, he has to use a detergent instead.
The water crisis can be so severe that sometimes we do not even get water to bathe. We use detergents when we have to bathe with seawater because the bathing soap does not lather. If not, you would have to use sachet water. I've been using this same water to wash the shoes I sell for about 2 months now.
The residents' cries to authorities, particularly the Member of Parliament for the area, have so far not yielded any results.
We have informed the MP and the MC and even visited the MP's office 2 or 3 times. He says he will come and see the situation for himself, but up to now, he hasn't come.
For now, all they want is a proper solution to the problem that has gone on for far too long. For Joy News, Evelyn Ampa, Teshi Telephone Pole, Accra.
Meanwhile, we've been hearing from the Ghana Water Limited, which has attributed the prolonged water shortage in Teshi Telephone Pole area to low pressure in the distribution system, worsened by the shutdown of its treatment plant. Head of Communications at Ghana Water Limited, Stanley Marty, says the utility outfit is aware of the situation and is working to improve water supply to affected communities.
We are aware, but it all started because we had to shut down the treatment, the diesel treatment plant. Hitherto, we were getting water regularly, but for some time now, they've had to get water only on Wednesdays and then Thursdays. And so sometimes pressures are not enough for water to get to that area. But I want to assure them that we are not sitting aloof. We are aware of the situation, and a lot of work is being done so that at least they can all have water. Next week, Wednesday and Thursday, when they are supposed to have water, they'll see our people in the area doing everything possible for them to have access to water.
When you hear the sound, you know that it's time for your say, and Michael Ashali, already very happy this evening, is in the studio with us. Michael, what's making you so happy this evening?
Kenneth, have you prayed today?
I have. I prayed in the morning.
Okay. So,
but have you prayed?
I think that we should. Okay, play the sound first. Let's listen to Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. And I mean, let's listen to that first.
And I feel very strongly that we need to pray for the gold ball. And I'll tell you why. With what I was told by this sheikh, And the calls I had that they can't get the gold like before illegally, so they want some channels to the gold board so they can purchase the gold now from the gold board. It's clear to me that the gold board is dealing with a very powerful movement. People very, very established who knows and understand the field. And
how to do. So Kenneth, how we start?
Yes, of course, we are brave. Let's pray.
Praying for gold ball. Are you aware that the city is stable because of gold ball?
Oh, yes.
Gemma, let's go. Clapping. Are you a Catholic, so you don't know what to do? Fire. Gold ball, rise. I mean, but that's on a lighter note, but it's a very serious issue that he raises in that audio. Mm. And yeah, if you are anywhere in Ghana or outside of Ghana, please spare a prayer for good, but it's very important that they are.
So the issues have moved from the physical realm,
yes,
to what, spiritual.
Essentially,
okay.
I mean, you know, you have to fight some of the issues on all fronts.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've done this for almost 2 years with the Bank of Ghana putting fiscal cash into it. We have gone to, e-money. Now we are doing. You understand? We are doing prayers.
Yeah, I agree.
We have to. See,
we'll continue praying. What are people saying?
We've been hearing for a lot of other people too, Kenneth. And this one, someone shared a voice note as well with us. We might just listen to that person's views as well.
My name is Lawrence Amude, UEW. The NDC and the MPP politicians and lawyers have made the students of this country confused regarding the judiciary. Why? God help us.
So, yes, thank you very much for that couple of other ones. This one from Dede says that, very shameful, MPP left power before they released that there's no transparency. I'm highly disappointed. All those who spend taxpayers' money in this country must be held accountable, period. And this one from Matilda in Keta says, where are we now? Gradually, things are really getting better. All because of the reset agenda policy by NDC government and President John Dramani Mahama. So there's hope and faith that Ghana will surely be rebuilt. And this one from Francis in Accra says, it is surprising to hear MPP and its MPs set up saying today that OSP should not be trusted, rather Iyoko and MPP and its agents would always like to throw dust into the eyes of Ghanaians. And this one says from Entribuise Akon from Okaikwe North says, congrats to the Gen Z's regional chairman, Dr. Okoboy, the humble chairman, Koka, and all newly elected regional executives. And this one from Nana Ikiamua Boateng from Ablekuma Central says, I would be naive to believe that this government can investigate and successfully prosecute their own people. Which reasonable person would believe that the current Attorney General will investigate scandal involving their own? Well, Nana Ikiamua, we'll wait and see what happens to that. And this is your say, Kenneth.
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for bringing us what people have been saying on our various social media handles. That's it for Newsnight this evening. My name is Kenneth. Jesse?
Mine is Gemma, up here.
And don't forget to do the two this evening. Brush your teeth day and night with Pepsodent toothpaste. Have a good evening.